I want to turn your attention tonight in the Word of the Lord to the book of Exodus. If you would go with me to the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32 is our text tonight. Beginning at verse number 19, I'm going to read just a few more verses than normal, but I want you to get the entire context of this powerful story out of the Word of the Lord. Exodus chapter number 32, and we are beginning reading at verse number 19 of that chapter. Exodus 32 and verse 19, and it came to pass, as soon as he, that's Moses, came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire, ground it to powder and strawed it upon water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Don't you get humored when you hear somebody describing how their sin just accidentally happened? I cast golden earrings into the fire, and out came a calf. Isn't that amazing? Human nature hadn't changed one little bit, has it? Amen. Amazing how that happened. Just put it in the fire and boom, there it came. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side. Go in and out of the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Wow, what a powerful verse, verse 29 is. God said, You do all of this that I ask you to do, a bunch of killing, a bunch of slaughtering, that God may bestow a blessing upon you. Hallelujah. And I simply want to preach, who is on the Lord's side? Moses said it in verse 26. Who is on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. I want to be on the Lord's side. I really don't care if I end up on your side, your good side or your bad side. That really doesn't worry me and affect me at all, as long as I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Let's ask God to talk to us. Savior, We need you. We call upon you, God. It is our prayer, Savior, oh God, that the holy power of God would be in this place, reaching and speaking, ministering and directing and helping, God, helping every soul that is here, Lord. We need your help. We pray for it, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Who is on the Lord's side? I drove up in the church parking lot this morning early, and as I opened the door to my car, I suddenly heard some loud, loud screaming. The screaming that I heard was, at first I thought that it was a child. I thought it was a child that perhaps was being abused or taken advantage of, because the voice sounded like that of a child. And of course I immediately put down everything that was in my hands and I started going toward where that voice was, because I don't buy into the belief system, amen, that says you just need to stay out of everybody else's business. If there is a child that is being abused, I am going to intervene in any human way possible. If I can't, I'll get the police there for them to intervene. Hallelujah. We love the children that Jesus loves, don't we? Amen. When the kids' choir was singing about him having the whole world, the itty-bitty babies in his hand, we love them that God loves. Amen. And I finally went over to the wall of the house that is vacant next door there, and I began to listen for the noise, and I noticed that the noise and the screaming was coming out of that what used to be a playhouse, a little dollhouse, a playhouse in the back that was there, and I stuck my head over the wall, and I saw a sight that, of course, alleviated some of my fears as far as it being a child. And I observed that there was a woman that was in there, had obviously spent the night in there, a homeless woman, and she was obviously afflicted by demonic oppression and spirits and all of that, and she was talking out of her head, and she was making her voice inflection sound like that of a little child as she began to scream and rant and rave and carry on, and just to be sure that it was that of an adult and that there wasn't really a child there involved in it, I chose to walk around and to walk over by the gate that leads to the back that was there in order to look in and see. And as I walked by then she had come out to the gate and obviously had forgotten the combination or the lock that she had chained and locked the gate out of her fear, and with her bare hands she was tearing off the chain link of the fence that was there. And I watched a troubled and disturbed woman that was there in the bitter cold of the early morning of the night like we had last night. And I looked around and observed and was set at peace when I understood that there was not a child that was there. The society that we live in has tried so hard to train us that we just live and let live. That we do our own thing and we let other people do their own thing, and that we really are not our brother's keeper. And as a result, we don't think we're the children's keeper. We don't think we're responsible for anything else and anything that's going on around us. But the Bible teaches us quite the opposite of that. The Scripture and the Word of God lets us to know that there really is no neutral position when it comes to spiritual warfare. There is nobody that can say, I don't have a dog in that fight. There is nobody that can claim that I'm just simply a bystander and I'm just watching what is happening there. Our Lord Jesus put it like this. He said, "He that is not with me is against me." So nobody can say, I'm neither with you nor against you. I'm just kind of in the middle, God. He said, if you're not with me, you are against me. He said, he that is not gathering up with me and trying to bring people closer to me and closer to God and closer to salvation, if you're not gathering, he said, you're scattering abroad. You're actually pushing people away from God. You're actually, if you're not in the business by an example of living for God and letting your light shine and being a magnet that people are drawn to because they sense and feel something, you are actually shoving people away from God because they're seeing your life and they're seeing your double standards and they're seeing your hypocrisy and they're seeing the inconsistencies of your life that is there. And so it is that those that are on the Lord's side are required by God to stand against evildoers. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir, you're right. We are required by God, if we're going to be on the Lord's side, to take a stand against evildoers. The text that I read to you was a pitiful story that is so indicative of the hour that we're living in. It was a weak-kneed preacher by the name of Aaron. Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of kin folks that are, amen, pastoring congregations today that are claiming to be leading people in the area and the priestly role of the people of God and claiming to be the spiritual leader. And he had absolutely no backbone, absolutely no ability to tell the people that Moses is in the mountain. I know he's been gone a long time, but the mountain's still quaking and shaking, and God's still talking up there. There's lightning and thunder that's still happening, and we want to get everything that God has to say for us, and God's given him the commandments, and we're going to stay here and live for God until we see his face again. We're going to do right because God wants his people ready to be able to receive his word. But Aaron caved in to the will of the people that were there. The people got antsy. The people got anxious. They grew impatient. And they said, this Moses, we hadn't seen him now for 40 days. This Moses has been gone. It was supposed to be leading us to the promised land. We better get us another God that can take us back to Egypt. Brother, if you want to go back to Egypt, all you've got to do is turn around and head the other direction. There's a wide open path for a road back to Egypt that was there. And the results were that Aaron, amen, he led the people of God into idolatry. The golden calf was the worship of the Egyptian people that was there. He led them into idolatry. He led them into immorality. Amen. He was there. Did you notice God held him responsible for the nakedness of the people? Did you notice that? God held the preacher responsible for the nakedness of the people. And immorality and nakedness always go hand in hand. They're always there. It's showing a little belly, showing a little back, showing a little more of the legs, then it's showing some of the cleavage, then it's showing a little this and a little that, a little the other. You know who God holds responsible for that? He holds the preacher responsible for that. If the preacher don't lift up his voice like a trumpet and yell and scream and rant and rave and say, we're not about to go back to Egypt. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not about to go back to Egypt. Amen. And Aaron let them by until finally they were out there naked and they were dancing. And God's response to it wasn't, well, somebody turn the music, tone it down a little, put on some clothes and let's talk about it. That wasn't God's response, brother. The Bible said the anger of the Lord was hot. Can I tell you something? You make more than the boys hot when you get naked. You make God hot. And it's not hot with lustful passion. It's hot with anger toward anybody that would take their bodies, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and use it in an immodest, immoral way. God got hot and he said, Moses, I'm going to kill every last one of them. I'm not going to tolerate that kind of business around here. I am going to kill every last one of them. And Moses said, oh God, amen, don't kill them all, because I'm persuaded there's some here that are still on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Don't kill them all, God. He said, give me a chance to see if out of this group of people there's not some folks that are willing to stand up, amen, against the evil doing that's gone on. And Moses stood before the people. He said, I've got a question to ask you today. Who is on the Lord's side? Oh, hallelujah. I just want to know. I've been gone for 40 days and nights. And you all might be backslid. But I got a feeling some of you have still got it in your heart. Have still got it in your spirit. He said, I want to know who of you are on the Lord's side. The Bible said the Levites came running over there and said, we are. He said, if you are, strap a sword on your side. Amen. And swing that sword at absolutely everybody that's guilty. Whoa. Now, that's God's instruction to God's man, for God's priest to get that radical. You better believe it. He said, get a sword and go through the camp and start swinging at everybody that was participating in this idolatry, in this immorality that was going on down here in front of this calf. And the scripture tells us that God, after 3,000 dead bodies were piled up, that God bestowed a blessing on those who stood up to his brother, who stood up to his companion, who stood up to his neighbor, and who stood up to his son. Wow, he covered every last one of the bases. Amen. He said, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, amen, if it's your blood kin. It doesn't matter if it's the gal you married or the man you married. It doesn't matter if it's your own children that are doing it and involved in it. He said, I want to know who is on the Lord's side. Amen. I want to know if you are willing to identify that says, I'm with God on this. I'm not, amen, blood doesn't run thicker than water. I'm not taking sides with any members of my family. If they're on the opposite side of the Lord, I'm on the Lord's side. That's where I stand. That's where I'm coming down. It doesn't matter. Now, Abraham was the father of the faithful. He's the one that the Bible said, we are of his seed, Abraham. Notice what God had to say about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, he said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken unto him. God said, if you're wondering why I chose this man to become the father in the faithful, let me tell you something about him. God said, I know him. He's not going to ask his children, would you please participate with God's rules? Would you pretty please not embarrass me in front of other people by dressing that way? He said, let me tell you about Abraham. He said, I know him. I know that man named Abraham. And he said, when I speak something to him, Abraham is going to command. Wow. He's going to command his children and his household. Oh, hallelujah. Everything that lives under his roof does what he commands. God said, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it. He's my kind of a man, hallelujah, and I'm going to make him the father of the faithful. I'm going to bring this blessing upon Abraham because Abraham knows how to stand up to evildoers even when they're in his own household. He knows how to stand up to them and how to command them of what needs to be done. Remember the story in Exodus chapter 4? I was reading that again, and it's another great man that God used. His name was Moses. And I won't go into all of the details for certainly obvious reasons. But God spoke unto Moses. Said, Moses, I got big plans for you and great things I want to do through you and with you and all of that. But he said, Moses, let me tell you something. He said, you hadn't always been faithful to me and lived for God. You were 40 years down there in Egypt's bondage. You were 40 years as the son of the Pharaoh that was down there living that way. But now if I'm going to use you and I'm going to bless you, amen, not only you have got to come under my laws, but you got to bring your children under my laws also. That's what he said. And the Bible said that the angel of the Lord sought to kill Moses because God told Moses to circumcise those boys of yours, and Moses hadn't done it yet. Well, when you read the story, you find out why Moses hadn't did it. Because Mama was pleading with Mo every night at the supper table, saying, don't you be that cruel to our little babies. Don't you dare do that. Don't go. No, no, no. Over my dead body, Moses. You're not about to do that. No, 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 no. Moses, no, no. I ain't going to let you. I'll leave you. I'll leave you. I promise you. I ain't going to let you. You're not going to do that. These are my little babies. Finally, God said, you know, it's either you or her. Make up your mind, Moses. I'm going to kill you, boy. I'm going to send an angel that's going to put you out of your misery if you don't have the backbone to stand up to your household and choose which side you're going to be on. I'm preaching about who's on the Lord's side. The Lord's side. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that Moses finally, with her kicking and screaming, and I don't know if she was scratching and clawing, but I do know she didn't like it, not one bit of it. Amen. Moses finally said that, amen, come on, we're going to start with the firstborn son. You know, some of those boys might have been born back in Egypt. I get so tired of hearing people say, well, we can't do that to our kids because we weren't always 100% for God ourselves. What kind of lame excuse is that? It don't matter if you lived in Egypt for 40 years. It don't matter if you was a filthy sinner last week. The day you hear God's voice telling you what needs to be done, it's time for you to put it in order. It's time for you to say, I've heard all kinds of people say, well, you know, we didn't always go to Victory Tabernacle, Pastor White. We used to slip around and watch movies ourselves. That's really not all that big of a deal if our kids go to the movies. Get their own little portable DVD players they can watch all that junk with. It don't matter how many years you've been out of Egypt. If it was yesterday, last week, 6 months ago, or 40 years ago. If you're on the Lord's side, amen, the moment God speaks to you, you're required to be obedient. You're required to be obedient and say, God, I've heard your voice. I know what you require of me. And I want to be like Father Abraham. I want you to know, amen, that I'll stand up to my own family if I got to stand up to them. I'm on the Lord's side. And I'll obey His word. I'll follow His commands. I'll do what He wants me to do. I've listened to the stories that say, well, we didn't come to church till our girl was already 13. Or our boy was already this age, or that age, or the other. And so we can't expect that out of them. Let me tell you what happened. Moses did, in spite of his wife's protest. Zipporah gave him a horrible tongue lashing, brother. Oh, she did. Go read it yourself. Brother, she didn't like it before he did it, while he was doing it, nor after he did it. After the job was already done, she was still lashing him, brother. She was nailing him, telling him what a bloody husband he was and what a pitiful dad he was and all of that. But guess what? Do you think it left those children spiritually affected? My dad was a spiritual kook, and one day he got out this big knife, and my dad was a dingbat, and that's why I'm crazy today. No, you know what his oldest son's name? It was Gershom. Oh, hallelujah. Instead of leaving that oldest son a spiritual derelict, the Gershomites were one of the most blessed family tribes of all of Israel. Hallelujah. They were blessed to be able to carry the various things of the tabernacle. They were blessed to be around the inner circle of the blessings of God. You're not hurting your children. You're not hurting your children. You're blessing your children. When you set down the rule and say, I'm going to be on the Lord's side. We're going to do what God says to do. We're not hesitating. We're on God's side. In the Old Testament, my friend, those on the Lord's side were required to stone to death those among them who would not obey. Read it for yourself. Leviticus 20 and verse 2 said it wasn't just teenagers, but other parents. Other parents who offered their children to Molech, the other parents of the town had to pick up stones and say, you know, I've enjoyed being a neighbor of yours for a long time, but come with me. Where are we going? Somebody grabbed a hold of his wife and said, where are we going? Where are we going? The rest of the children of Israel all gathered around and said, we're going outside the camp. Said, what are we going out there for? Said, we verified the story that you have offered your children to Molech. Oh, hallelujah. You have rebelled as a parent against God's words and God's instruction. So what's the big deal? Can I decide in my own household what I want to do? Can I decide? That's my business. That's not your business. It's God's business. And God said the only way we can get that infection out of Israel is when there's parents that are offering their kids unto Molech, that we all drag them outside of the camp and we bury you under a pile of stones. What? What? You're going to stone me as a parent? Yeah. You passed them through the fire to Molech. You took your children and did with them just like the heathen do. And it made God angry. We got to kill you. You're spared. Hallelujah. Amen. Parents. Parents. If you were on the Lord's side, you had to stand up against parents that had one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And they had no business, amen, being among the congregation of the children of God. They had no business being there. They were leading their children down a pathway of destruction. And God saw it. And He said, if you're on the Lord's side, I want you to love it enough that you'll stand up and even stone those who won't obey my word. God had some strict rules in that Old Testament, didn't He? He said, Leviticus 20 and 27, He said, if they're psychics, if they're messing around with tarot cards, they're playing with Ouija boards, if they're into spiritism, He said, if you're on the Lord's side, kill them. Kill them. Kill them. Kill them. The whole congregation, the Scripture said, read it for yourself, was to take them outside of the camp and there to stone them. Deuteronomy 21. Turn with me there. Deuteronomy 21. I want you to see this. Somehow I'm having a struggle getting some people to believe that this is the Word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse number 18 said, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, either one, either one. You say, well, he's got a little bump with his dad, but he gets along with mom. If he won't obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, just won't listen, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him. brother. They're to get a hold of that boy. They're to grab him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Said, I want to know something, Mama, Daddy, who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, and a son or daughter of yours is rebellious and stubborn, no, you can't send them to the gas chamber. But you can pack their suitcases. And you can take them outside of the camp. And you can park it out on the front porch and say, you are not living in this house, rebelling against God's laws. You're not living here. I'm sorry. You're not mocking God in this house. I want the blessings of Abraham to be upon my family. I want the blessings that Moses' kids had to be upon my children. I want those blessings. And so I'm going to be on the Lord's side. That's where I am going to stand. I want to give some of you a shocking revelation today. I want to tell you the pastor is the watchman on the wall. He's not a one-man army. The pastor is not the one that throws the stones. It's you as the people of God. As a pastor, I'm the watchman on the wall that lifts the trumpet and blows the trumpet and say, folks, if you haven't realized it, there's a spiritual infection among the young people, a victory tabernacle that's going on. And when the watchman on the wall blows the trumpet, the moms and the dads are supposed to grab their swords and get up on that wall and say, where is it, Pastor? Where is it, Pastor? Where is it, Pastor? We're not going to tolerate immorality around here. We're not going to let it come to our city. We're not going to let it destroy it. We will stand against it.
I've heard some people say, I'm going to send you to the pastor. So what is the matter with you? That ain't my job. I blow the trumpet, and those who command their households immediately take over from there. Say, that's my job. That's my job, Pastor. You count it done. Count it done. My household. Amen. I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring the favor of God upon my household. Parents have so many cop-outs. The cop-out that said, I'm caught in the middle. You know, I'm the mother. Well, do you think those were adopted moms back in the Old Testament? They were the mothers too. I'm caught in the middle. I'm the dad, you know, and I got all this, and I'm just, you know, I don't know exactly what to do. I see all these problems, and I don't want to choose sides.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're on the Lord's side,
You've already chosen sides. You've already chosen sides, brother. You already made a determination at an altar. Let me tell you, when God blesses us, and I know we have baby dedications around here from time to time, I've got to remind every one of you mamas and daddies what the Scripture said. The Scripture tells us that children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. That's really not your baby. You're just the caretaker of the Lord's baby, is what you're doing. That's really not yours to decide if you're going to let them rebel against God's laws or not rebel against God's law. He just lent. That's what the Scripture said that Hannah realized. He just lent that child unto her for a little bit. God said, that's mine. That child belongs to me. Amen. Teach that child to obey my rules. Teach that child to live by my laws. Teach that child to do the right thing. Who is on the Lord's side? We live in a society that's so afraid of rejection. I don't know how it's happened. Just a generation. My grandparents go back. Their lives were back in the late 1800s. Then my grandparents wrapped over into the 1900s. My parents were born in 1922. Now we're all the way into another century since then. And just in the short history of three generations of my family that I've watched, moms and dads have made a faithful journey. They've gone from the attitude that says, you're going to do what I say, no questions asked, to an attitude that says, I don't want rejection from my girl, so I can't tell her what to do. I don't want rejection from my boy, so I can't tell him what to do. The truth of the matter is that it brings them security when you set boundaries around them. It brings peace to their life when you set parameters around them. It brings that safety that they can't find anywhere else. When mom and dad, when my dad told me, son, you'll not play on the school ball teams if you live in this house. I knew he meant what he said because I saw him enforce it with my oldest brother. I didn't have to push against the same boundaries because I saw what happened when my older brother pushed against those boundaries. I knew no matter how much the coach, no matter how much the other boys asked me to play ball, the issue was settled. But had my dad caved in to the oldest son, the three younger boys would have pushed through the same boundary and got exactly what they wanted. But the issue was settled, brother. It was rock solid that we don't do that and live in Hubert White's household. We don't. The coach better have an extra bedroom if he wants me playing on the basketball team, because I ain't got a bed to sleep in the first time I show up for practice. Oh, hallelujah. And you think that you're being overbearing on them. You're providing the safety and the security
that will bring the favor and the blessings of God. My oldest brother rebelled. You don't hear me talk about him. He rebelled. He defied Mom and Dad's counsel. He went ahead. He was a star ball player. Freshman year, he was on the varsity team in four sports in his freshman year. His basketball team won the L.A. City Championship that year. Here, Los Angeles is a big place. A lot of big boys play in that league. Majority of them went on to the pros and on to fame and on. But I sat at the breakfast table with my sister this last week. She said, "Oh, I'm so worried about our brother. I'm so worried about him. Like he's reprobate. It's like he's now up almost 60 years of age. It's like he's completely gone." I thought, "Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. I hadn't told you in a while. I know you're long gone and in the grave, but the memory of you. Thank you for standing up to Buddy. Because it's what brought God's blessings upon Philip, the one down the road a little ways. You built a beautiful safe haven where God's blessings and God's favor could be poured out upon me and my children. The goodness of the Lord. Who, Moses said, is on the Lord's side." When you're on the Lord's side, it ain't always popular, but it brings blessing to your family. It brings blessing to the people of God. Let's stand together. Let's talk to the Lord. Can we do that, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your spirit, for your blessing, God, for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Solomon said, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Moses said, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or mother." Jesus said in Mark 7:11, "For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death." You mean all I've got to do is curse my father or my mother? And Jesus said, let him die the death. Don't worry about it. Leave it in God's hands. But bring a place of safety and protection for the remaining children. The favor of God could be upon you. The blessings of God could come to your life. Let's gather for prayer as we sing tonight.